Hello and welcome to season 4 of The Vinyl Exam, the podcast about vinyl records and the people who collect them. I'm your host, Sam Ahmed. Given that this is the first episode of season 4, I thought I would feature 4 legendary Afrobeat and Afrofunk musicians. Actually, I'm only going to feature 2 of them this episode, and then I'll have 2 more in episode 152. And the compilation record that brought all of these fantastic musicians to my attention was released in 2009 by a Germany-based record label called Analog Africa. If I had to pick one contemporary record label whose entire discography I would love to own, it would definitely be this one. It was started by a guy named Sami Bin Rajab, a man who has spent a lot of time living and traveling throughout Africa. Among many things, he was a diving instructor in Senegal and a flight attendant jumping between Nigeria, Ethiopia, and Ghana. And this compilation album, called The Legends of Benin, is his third installment of Beninese Afrobeat music. It highlights choice picks from 4 all-star band leaders of Benin: El Rego, Nonas Pedro, Antoine Doug, and Honore Avolonto, all who made their mark in Benin's largest city, Cotonou. If you don't know, Benin is a very small West African country. It's neighbored by tiny Togo on the west and the African giant Nigeria on the east. It has very little coastal land touching the Gulf of Guinea, and it is on this coast where Afrobeat thrived. First of the 4 band leaders I want to highlight is El Rego. I want to start with him because we have actually featured him before on the podcast. DJ Scheme Richards in episode 11 of season 1, for his breakdown of his top 5 45s, actually picked an El Rego tune called Achuta to highlight. You should go back and take a listen to that. I'll have links on the website. But El Rego in the 1970s used to play at a heavy-duty club called Le Playboy. It's an establishment that he bought a few years later after setting up headquarters. By the late 1980s, however, live music was dwindling and El Rego turned the entire joint into a brothel, which as of the time that this compilation was released in 2009, is still in operation. Analog Africa's founder, Sami Bin Rajab, says that the best time to meet with El Rego was Tuesday mornings, because that's the time he would go down into town to pick up his earnings from the brothel. And as macho as that sounds, you probably shouldn't be surprised to know that when he was a teen, El Rego was an amateur boxer. And 30 years later, he would become the president of the Benin Boxing Federation. So let me paint this scene. Sammy is in the, quote, entertainment, unquote, district of Cotonou. And he's having tea or breakfast or something on the side of the street with El Rego, the boxer, the brothel owner, the legendary band leader. El Rego had a shite start at life. His father sent him off to Senegal for schooling, and he describes being depressed and homesick the whole time. His luck turned when one of his teachers, not his main teacher, but one of them, who was also from Benin, encouraged him to form a band with other Beninese students. They called themselves Les Jazz de Dakar, Dakar being the capital of Senegal. And music kept El Rego sane. It was his calling. His main tutor, the guy who his father sent him to work with, he saw no potential in El Rego for school and pushed him to become a car mechanic, which he did. But there was always music. He traveled to Niger and Burkina Faso. He learned the upright bass. He toured and performed with numerous bands, and he honed his skill. He says, quote, "A musician has to consume, digest, and understand music. You have to study it," unquote. And with this philosophy, he laments the trajectory that African music, and Beninese music in particular, has taken. El Rego points to an apathetic government that won't even build a cultural center to support the arts. In 1960, he went back home. 2 years later, he formed a band with another local legend, Gigi Vicky, on guitar. And they called themselves Les Dajo Jazz. Each year after that, they changed their name, for inexplicable reasons, but chose to stick to a military motif. First it was Les Jets, then Les Paras, and finally, in 1965, Les Comandos. This was the highlight of El Rego's musical career, and his most successful band. When they were approached by Disa Sedu from Albarica store to record, they jumped in a car, drove to Lagos, Nigeria, put down 4 tracks, and drove home that same day. I mean, these guys were powerhouses. When their producer wanted a soul singer to drop a track in English, El Rego brought on Eddie Black Power. They cut this incredibly funky soul tune called Feeling You Got, a highlight of the Legends of Benin compilation. It was likely the first track of its kind coming out of West Africa, kickstarting what's called the jerk scene. And in that region, jerk being funk and soul. Here, take a listen. Your need.
You can never fall down.
The first song in the Legends of Benin compilation is by Nonas Pedro. Sami Ben Rajab took a 10-minute motorbike taxi to Pedro's house, which is well known in that area, because when you arrive there, you'll see a huge portrait of the man right outside his house. Sami wanted to discuss licensing with Pedro's wife. She agreed to connect him with their daughter, or Pedro's daughter, Huguette. Or maybe it's Huguette. And a day later, Sami was laying down the foundation for securing the rights to release Pedro's music. Unfortunately, Huguette brought along Monsieur Raz, who was the manager of Africando, a group that worked closely with Pedro. On the liner notes, Sami throws shade at Raz and Africando by saying that Pedro's solo work is far more superior. I think maybe this quip had something to do with the fact that Raz didn't agree to Sami's offer to pay for half of the licensing up front and the other half after the songs were released. And it probably had something to do with the fact that Raz threatened Sami by saying he will contact the German embassy in Cotonou if Sami ever released any of Pedro's music without the licensing. So, admittedly pissed off, Sami was ready to drop the whole thing and never release any of Pedro's music. Thankfully, it never came to that. A few weeks after their meeting, Huguette asked Sami what's going on with the contract, and he, smart and shrewd, just sent her the 50% he said he would pay her, as if nothing had happened between Raz and him. It was a clever and quick move that secured him the rights to release three of Pedro's songs on the compilation. Sami then sat down with Huguette and her brother Gilles for an interview about their father. Not missing a beat, Gilles puts a lollipop in his mouth, making the interview tape practically opaque. What we do know is this. Nonas Pedros, his born name, was not Nonas Pedros. It was Nonas Sosupier. Pedro was his stage name. In Benin, your stage name becomes your official name, making its way onto passports, official documents, driver's license, and the likes. And he was born into a poor family on January of 1943. At 13, he turned to music, probably as a way to deal with the fact that his father just died. And not unlike El Rego, he was terrible at school. And music called him, and especially dance, which he excelled at, winning many of the day's dance competitions. He later picked up his first instrument. Out of all things, it was a xylophone, and he spent his days listening to records with his friends and playing guitar. The man was in heaven, and he later started his first group called Los Panchos, which changed its name to Les Dadjes with his brother Matthew on bass. They recorded 8 tracks in 1965 on the Rivera label, but fame didn't really hit Pedro until a music competition at the French Cultural Center. During his performance, the electricity cut out, and instead of stopping, Pedro kept playing as if nothing had happened. He played like Hendrix and James Brown, he sprawled on the ground for his guitar solos, he hugged the microphone close to his chest, and he won that competition. And when the lights came back on, the audience gave him a standing ovation. The few years after were a musical cornucopia for Pedro. He became an avid composer and produced numerous hits with his own record label called Neunsup. And when the revolution hit Benin, Pedro got in line and wrote music for that too. His son, Gilles, says that, quote, "The best revolutionary music came from my father," unquote. When the Minister of Agriculture visited the cotton farmers in the north, and he saw that they were drinking beer instead of working, and he reported them, Pedro wrote a song about that. He wrote a song about how beer is the best drink in this country. And when the Minister of Agriculture heard the song, he reported it to the president, and the song was banned. And there's probably a lot more to know about Pedro just from this encounter alone. Unfortunately, he was diagnosed with bladder cancer in 2003. And because he couldn't afford treatment, he ignored the issue and continued touring with Africando. A year later, he found the money for an operation in Paris, but the damage was already done. On August 7th of 2004, he removed all life support and decided to travel home. Like El Rego, Benin was calling him. His plane landed in Cotonou on August 11 at 9:30 p.m., and he died the next morning. He was 61 years old. The song I'm about to play you, called Okpo Vidye Basu, is my current favorite on the Legends of Benin compilation. That's it for part one of my feature on the Legends of Benin. I have to give props to Sammy Ben Rajab and Analog Africa for including such fantastic liner notes with the Legends of Benin compilation album. Pretty much all the info I gave today came from them. Come back soon and take a listen to part two of this episode, where I highlight the other two band leaders from this astounding album. And if you get a chance, make your way over to analogafrica.com and check out their entire discography. It's about 25 plus records. Just all fantastic stuff. Once again, my name is Sam Ahmed. You can catch us online using the handle @TheVinylExam on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can email me at info@TheVinylExam.com. We release new episodes every other Monday on iTunes and SoundCloud, so make sure to subscribe and not miss a thing. And special thanks to our Patreon supporters, Yan Wong and Brian Siebold, and to our executive producers, Austell Gray, aka Zero System, Ben Lag from the group Brass Animals, and Janine Cuevas. And you too can become a producer of our show by visiting our crowdfunding page, www.patreon.com/thevinylexam. Take care, catch you next time.